The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
First, I want to read Acts 2, verses 42-47, and Renee may expound on this either later today or in the coming weeks in higher call. But this is the part where it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. It's an amazing verse to me, or verses, because this is what I think Renee and I have been asked to do for at least the next couple of years here as it relates to Family Life Pastors. It's about getting together here in the temple. It's about getting folks together outside the temple and sharing breaking bread together, and that somehow just that process is going to create an adding of numbers. Not because we have to go out and do something, not because we're going to do something scary like use the word evangelical. It's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. So that's sort of a base verse for me, and again, Renee might expound on that a little bit later. As it relates to the umbrella picture, can everybody see it okay? I'd like some volunteers. What do you see when you look at that picture? You see umbrellas. What does it look like to you? They're colorful. They're inside. It's covering. They what? Containment. They're contained. Anybody else? It looks like the Mall of America. It looks like it could be the Mall of America. I'll tell you about where it was in just a second, but any other thoughts on the umbrellas? They're what? They're decorative. They're beautiful. Are they not? They're really pretty. Renee and I were at Calhoun Square 2 weeks ago. Anyone that's taken Lamb knows that we really, really, really believe in dating. We really think that you should do that. It's really hard to do when you have kids. It's really hard to do. Somehow it happens that you don't, but we took a date weekend 2 weekends ago. It was wonderful. Thank you, honey. It really matters to be able to take time out and be able to look at you and make contact with you and see your eyes. And I'm going to cry. It's just so worth it. So part of the day, we went to Calhoun Square, and we saw that. And I said, Renee, this is prophetic. I got to get this picture. And she says, what do you see? And I go, I don't know. But I'm going to take this picture because it's going to matter later. And a little bit later on, we texted some friends that we have in California and sent it to them. And then they text us back saying, oh, this is what we see. And anyway, I've had it on in my office for the last week and on the door. And I've just been looking at it, waiting to see what's going to happen. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you right now. We're going to just stew on it for a few minutes. But leave it as a surprise. But I do feel like our church, to switch topics just a little bit, has been a laboratory, a comfortable place. A place that we have been able to come and be fed mightily, and be given all kinds of positive things, all kinds of wonderful messages over the years. We've got great pastors here who aren't afraid to bring in other pastors and other speakers from other places. It's been exciting. I've been here since 1997, and it's been exciting to sit there and to be filled that way. I talked to a friend just this week who said, where can you go where you can get this much prophecy? I've got prophecy coming out of my pockets and out of my ears. And he didn't mean it in a bad way. It's like, it's amazing how much we've gotten that's been sowed into us. And having said that, Renee, I'm going to need your help for a second. Can you just hold the microphone? So this is us. Yeah, I am a moving target. Which is that umbrella analogy, remember that? Yeah. This is the word that we're getting, and this is us in this church, and it's been awesome. And we just get filled up. That was my glass. This is Renee. This is John Puller. It's just awesome being here, and we are so fed, so well fed, and overfed. We are seriously overfed. We are. It's all over this tray right now, and it's really, if I weren't careful, it could wind up all... It's just water, folks. It's not coffee, I promise. It's leaking all over the floor. I need to point out that it's not doing any good on the floor right there. In fact, you know, it could leave a little water stain right there. Phyllis, where are you? Sorry, Phyllis. I was thinking coffee. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. So, but as we're, this is the word that we've been getting here and that we're going to be getting here, and it's more, and it's good that we get together because it says right there, I just read it, that's good for us to get together. This is not a, it's bad to be in church moment. This is a good thing, but we're overflowing right here. Now that doesn't do any good. But if it's a hot summer day and we're having a drought and I do the exact same thing out there on that lawn there, happy grass. As the water overflows, or maybe the garden that I go to, or maybe wherever I might be, or maybe I come across somebody on the side of the road, I've got all this extra water and they don't have any. We are in this church so overfilled, but I just want to say that this doesn't help us any longer unless we bring it out there. Are we okay so far? Now I'm going to, thank you, dear. You want to bring that back over anywhere? Are you good?
I got it. It's kind of flexy.
She's a waitress. This is only proving the point. I did not set up my wife. So let's go back to that picture for a second, if we may. Look at those beautiful umbrellas inside that beautiful building, and it is really pretty. But what are they doing? Nothing. They are no darn good right there. They are pretty. And when I walked up and I took that picture, I went, isn't this fun being here at Calhoun Square? And isn't this a neat environment? And it was. It was all good. There's nothing wrong with that. But they are doing no good inside of there. Where they would do better good, probably, is outside. And even if there's a drought outside, they would provide shade. So I look at that, and then I think about the next picture. Henry? Now, that's a group photo that we took just last week when Max was here. And by the way, it wasn't a setup. Max really did want a picture that he could send to folks at home. But we took the picture. I sat down in the chair and I go, I know what the umbrellas are about now. The umbrellas are us. And that's us. And this is part of the message that Max was trying to say last week when he said we were fat. Now, as soon as he said that, Renee whispers over into my ear, and she says, he should wait until after that we do an offering or something before he tells us that we're fat. But he was right on. He was right on. We are so blessed. You go to any churches, I say this every time I get a chance in a microphone in my hand, you go around town, and what we have here is not everywhere. It is in some places, and it's wonderful, and we have great churches in this area and in this state. But we are overfilled. By the way, if you can't see because of the distortion there, that is all of us except me. I was taking the picture, but I see most of you there. So that's the message I just wanted to start with today, is I just wanted to say that we are fed. We are ready. Can you go back to the umbrellas? But this isn't where we're supposed to stay. That we want to get outside there. And I think that's pretty much what I wanted to share. I wanted to say also that this place is not the end. Church is not our destination. That this is the beginning. And that we need to be here. I'm pro-church. But we also need to take it out there. And that's what we're trying to do right now. And I have one other thing to share. And that's my beautiful wife.
It's true. We are blessed. We have a blessed heritage here. We have a lot that is sown in here, and we have a lot of people that are anointed and full of the Spirit sitting here and that have some amazing gifts that they've shared. People that share things on a Sunday morning, but people that share things in their homes, people that share things over the phone when we call, and dare I say, even on Facebook occasionally, we can bless one another. I'm not sure how I feel about that yet as it relates to God's plan for the church, but I see a whole lot of encouragement happening there, so I can't knock it. This is a time of transformation. My very first note is that this is a time of transition and transformation, and that's without having a conference with everybody else to share what we're going to talk about. But, you know, the verse that's been shared is Romans 12:2, when it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what I feel happening in my life lately is He is renewing my mind as it relates to what church looks like. He's renewing my mind as it relates to what our role is and what our impact is and what He's calling us into. And it's a little painful. It's a little uncomfortable. It's a little like shedding a skin or, I've used this analogy before, but if you remember in the movie The Grinch, when his heart enlarges four sizes all at once, that's what I feel like right now. I feel like I'm weepy and I'm irritated and I want to read the Bible for 6 hours at a time, and because my heart is growing four sizes. And I believe it's something that's what God's doing in the church. He's beginning to expand our view of what it looks like to be the church. He's transforming us by the renewing of our minds. And so even as I'm speaking to you and even as Brian's speaking to you, we're not even just speaking to your minds. We're speaking to your spirits, and we're going to speak out of our spirit what we feel like the Lord's put in there. And I believe that for some of you, it's going to be some new thought. For a lot of you, it's going to be like, yeah, that is what I'm hearing. That is what's in my heart. Yes, that's what the Lord's doing. It doesn't have to be. I'm not saying that that's the only two choices for response to what we're saying. But I just believe that it's something the Lord's doing. Even as we've been pursuing this and seeking the Lord, you know, I'll be scrolling through different podcasts, and this is a word that's being spoken at churches all around the world right now. There's things being spoken about the Lord expanding what it looks like to be in oneness as the body of Christ. So that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today, that the church needs to look different than the world. And there's a transforming. We do, but we need to look even more different than we do. We need to look even more different, that we need to be even more set apart and set aside. And it's been really easy for the world to sort of categorize the church as an organization, as a club, as a, you know, whatever. That's your hobby. I've had people say, you know, you guys don't do this or that because you guys do church. Like, as if that's our replacement for racquetball or something. And that makes me sad, because that's not the point, is it? This is not our club that we come and we pay dues to so that we can, that's not what it is. And so I believe that the Lord is beginning to expand in our hearts what it is, the function, and even the structure of church and what that looks like. And what the role of church is in one another's lives and also in the world. And I believe that as a body, this body at Living Waters, we're forerunners in a lot of things. We have been forerunners. It's been spoken over us. It's been something, you know, to the degree that quite often as the Lord's speaking something to somebody, I'm not sure if any of the other people that have spoken things out are having the same experience I'm having, the Lord's drawing us into something, and I'm going to talk to you about it today, and I don't even know what it looks like yet. I can't even put a structure around it and say, so this is the 5 points of turning your church into a community or whatever it is. And so we're on the cusp of some things that the Lord wants to do for the church at large, but I believe that we're going to experience some revelation, we're going to experience transformation, and we're going to experience some creativity of the Holy Spirit as it relates to what that looks like, that is going to become a sort of forerunner for other bodies and for other places. That's kind of cool and exciting and really scary. I mean, but it's awesome. because I, one of the things as I'm wrestling with the Lord over some of these things, because can I just say, I like church the way it is. It's comfy. I get it. I know the drill. I'm really comfortable here. I talk to Jesus through the week. I'm here. I talk to people. We do our life. It's really, I like it. But it's not going to take us where the Lord wants to take us. And as I've been kind of wrestling with the Lord, I kind of like this way. And it might make people uncomfortable. And I don't like that. My husband likes to make people uncomfortable. I don't. That's not true. It's a little true. But I felt like as I was talking with the Lord about it, I just wept and felt like the cost is too great not to go there. The cost is too great not to even explore the thing that we don't know what it looks like yet. The cost is too great not to look at it again in light of Scripture and in light of what the Lord's speaking to us and say, how do you want us to impact this world as a body, as this body, and as the body of Christ at large? So I can't, that's a double negative, I have to pursue this. Because I am after the heart of the Lord, and I'm after who he is, and I'm after him getting glory. And the Bible tells me that the way that he gets glory is if we know how to operate in oneness. Let's look at John 17. Throughout the coming up to the end of John, this is where Jesus is having kind of his final moments with his disciples. And we've talked about this before, but he, in those final moments, is not teaching them how to build an organization called the church. He's not teaching them how to create that structure necessarily. What he's teaching them is, I need you to love one another. Not just to love one another as you want, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, but I need you to love one another the way that I have loved you. And this is as he prepares to lay himself down completely for them. And so then he's talking about this. This is his final moments with them. And this is important to him. Obviously, he knows that his time is coming and he's not going to be with them. This is what I want you to know before I go. Love one another. And then he talks about how he's going to give them the Holy Spirit. If I go, the Holy Spirit comes, which is really, that is the ability to do that. He doesn't give us a command. He doesn't give us an instruction without giving us the ability to do that, that we can tap into. And so he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And then we come into chapter 17, and this is his prayer that he's praying for us. Let's look at verse 20. This is how I know it's for us. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So he's not just praying for the disciples. He's praying for those, everybody that comes after that will believe in him through their word. That they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me, sorry. He was praying for us in this moment, at that time, that we would be one, because his ability to receive glory depends on it. Yeah. I want to know how to do it. We want him to receive glory. This is his prayer before he goes to the cross, that we would be one. And the glory which you have given me, in verse 22, and I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one. Do you think he's trying to make a point? And that the world may know that you sent me, and love them as you have loved me. There are so many things that sometimes we focus on that we feel like this is going to demonstrate to the world. But I feel like Jesus makes it really clear. This is the thing. We can have all that other stuff. We can heal people in the street. We can, and we can, by the way. And we're gonna. We can heal people in the street. We can see people set free. All those things. But ultimately, it's going to come down to oneness. His entire message, his entire mission was about restoring oneness. And I think what's happened, we live in a very individual society. Especially us in this Western culture. Especially us if we have any sort of Germanic background. We are very individual, and so we even receive the gospel individualistically. I hope that's a word. We even receive the gospel as if it's totally about my redemption to oneness with God, which it is. But another huge piece of it is our redemption into oneness. It wasn't just the oneness with God that was disruptive by the fall. Adam and Eve were one. Before sin came into the picture. And after sin came into the picture, it sounded like this. It was her fault, right? There was this separation that happened. There was this lack of oneness that took place. And then you look at, then the next story that we're looking at has to do with a brother killing his brother. It's an assault on oneness. That's what the enemy is trying to do from the beginning of time, from the beginning of that fall through now, is to destroy oneness. And I have absolutely sort of hid behind my personality, right? I go, oh yeah, well, that's not really my personality. I don't really like being close to people like that. It's not really my personality. And most of you would look at me and go, really? Because I've heard way more about you than I ever want to know. But that is not me. That is the Lord transforming me, bringing me to a place where I just go, I want to know you. And he says, this is the way. This is the way to know me. So it's important to God. It's a big deal. There's several references to the church, what we have translated as church, and which we kind of view as an institution. I think we understand the concept that we're not talking about an institution. We're talking about a people. We're not talking about an organization. We're talking about a people. But churches in general don't always function that way. We kind of view it as this institution called the church. And in fact, people will say, I was hurt by the church. And really, what they were hurt by is an organization that needed to be structured in order for a church to function. And probably they were hurt by people within the church, by relationships within the church. So when we look at it, I just want to look at the word church, when it refers to that, when the English word is church, is ekklesia in the Greek, which was actually a secular word. It meant an assembly. It meant, like literally, the two words that make it up, ek, to be called out from, or kaleo, which means to call. So it means the called out ones, those who were called out. And what it was is that there was, when there was to be an assembly, there was this calling out to come into a place of assembly. And so I think sometimes what we mistake, we think the way things that are structured now is like, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is the church, the way that the early church was framed. And I think we need to realize and not mistake the fact that some of what has been structured as the church is an organization or a structure that really had to be created in some ways for us to function in the world. And so we need to not get hung up on that piece of it so much. I know for me, as you know, we're ministering and people go, you know, do you have a 501c3? Have you set up a ministry name? There's a part of me that just bucks that. I just go, I don't want to do that. And we might, I don't know. we're still, my husband's like, really? I think that's on our list to do this year. Anyway, but there's just this part of me that just goes, you know, that's a structure. I just don't want that structure. I just want to be able to function. And there are some things. Eventually, maybe we'll need that. I don't know. But there are things that to be able to function in with this government, this natural government that we're in, that it's necessary. It's necessary to be able to process funds and to have accountability and all of that. But what we're talking about is being the church as it relates to what the word says and how we are supposed to relate to one another. Because the truth is, we're not saved into an organization. We're saved into a family. And so if we try to function like an organization, we're going to fall short of the way that God's called us to function as the church and the impact that we're supposed to have. That's why the Bible refers to that we have a father, and we have sisters and brothers, and we're children. And part of it, so we can understand, this is how it should look. We're not employees. Yeah, yay! We're saved into a family. And honestly, it's messier that way. It is much easier to function as a corporation. It's much easier to function as employees. Dave can tell you that one of the things when he came, was set in as senior pastor, I was like, tell me what to do. No, what can, tell me what to do. What do you mean? You're not going to tell me what to do. It was like, I just needed, just tell me what to do. It's way easier. But what he did is he said, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? What's God telling you guys? What are you pursuing? I don't know. You tell me. You know? And we have a privilege of functioning in a pastoral model that is saying, what is in your heart? What has God put in you? How can we get underneath you and equip you for that? It's not functioning as in, I'm going to tell you what to do. And that's a huge blessing. That's a huge gift to us. And it's not the experience that people have across the board. But the truth is now, because that is a function, that is the foundation of this body, because that's what we have as our foundation, we need to run with that. We need to pick that up and run with it and step into being the church the way that the Bible describes what that looks like. Part of what that looks like is what Brian read in Acts 2. I'll go there really fast. I love that picture. Chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Later that says in 45, or in 44, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the ecclesia, the assembly, daily those who were being saved. And I love this picture of they gathered in the temple, but there's much said about this house to house, that they spent time house to house. There is a ministry that we have to one another in that oneness and in that relationship. And so we want to begin to see church and see our role in that a little bit differently. It is not, it sounds so cliche, it's not a spectator sport. What we're doing here, we're here and we come and we listen to a word and some people share prophetically, is a piece of that. But there's a lot that we can step into in our homes and for one another. And the truth is, we're doing that in this body. We see that happening in this body. We just want to pursue it even more intentionally. We just want to release even more grace for that. We just want to see that grow even more than it is right now, so that Jesus can get glory, because we're learning how to be one. One of the reasons that we do marriage ministry is because we want to learn how to be one and teach other people how to be one in marriage. We do family ministry because we want to, what does it look like to be one in a family, to have oneness? I can promise you it doesn't look like we all have the same opinion. Not one time in my house is that what that looks like. But we are able to step into places of oneness where we can value and honor one another and the differences in one another, even when I say left and he says right, and the kids don't want to go at all. We can find oneness in a body where we have several backgrounds, where we have several different areas of, you know, people are pointed at different things. Their hearts are pointed at different things. They have different passions. We can find oneness in that. And one of the things we're going to talk about at Higher Call, because we don't have time to go into it all here. So please come if that's interesting to you. We're going to talk about what does that look like, biblically speaking, and also what creates relationships where true intimacy can happen. What does that look like in a small group? How do we have oneness and still honor one another's individuality? How do we lead in that? What does the word say about how the church is supposed to have an effect in the world, and what does that look like? So it's, if you're leading a small group, or if you're ever going to lead a small group, which I believe most of you are, because we really are called to be leaders, all of us, like all of us. There's an authority on our lives to be leaders.
That's right.
As the body, every individual in the body. So I encourage you to come, or you can also hear it on the website. On the Living Waters website after the fact. But we'll be getting more into that, what that looks like. But what we're talking about is not conforming to the spirit of independence that really exists in the world. We celebrate independence. Have you ever heard the term a self-made millionaire? Like that could even exist. I mean, really. I made all this money by myself. Nobody ever helped me. But we applaud that. Like, you know, they did that themselves. And there is something in the human spirit that is beautiful when they can step out and they can go the distance and achieve things. But imagine what that self-made millionaire could do if anyone ever helped him. I mean, really, like, wow, you could be in the billions, buddy. And obviously, probably there were people along the way that helped him or her. But there's an aspect of this independence that we celebrate. How about the self-help section of the bookstore? Because it's too hard to go to someone else. And really, if you're reading a book, is it really self-help? Just saying. But it's something in our society that we value. And yet the entire gospel is about coming to a place of needing one another. The entire gospel is about coming into a place of oneness. We can't come into our place of salvation with this mentality that it's just me and Jesus. Jesus is complete. And we can even sing, he's all we need. Yes, technically that's true. He is complete. He doesn't need any, I'm not even going to say that. He's complete. He was the complete propitiation for sin, the complete sacrifice that allows us to step into righteousness. But he brings us into family. You are not going to find in Scripture anywhere that is supporting that it's just me and Jesus. You're not going to find anywhere where Jesus goes, yeah, we got this. You don't need anybody else. You can totally hate your brother and love me. It's awesome. You can do that. It's not scriptural. And so we have to, and really, I hope I'm not the only one who has walked in this. This has been a place where I've been, where I have cried out to God, like, why won't you just let me run after you? Why won't you just let me go with the things that you're speaking to me? I just want to run after it. And he goes, because you don't get to do it alone. This is like a three-legged race times 100. These are the things that we are supposed to run after together. It would be easier if I could do it alone, but I don't think I would get as far. I don't think it would have the impact. I would love if it was just me and Jesus, because then it's me and someone who's perfect, and then someone who thinks they're perfect. I don't really think I'm perfect. I'm married, so I know I'm not. That would be awesome, but it's not. And I cannot tell you, as God's told me, no, this works. Oneness works. Community works. It's my idea. It works. I go, oh, really? Okay. Give me the grace for it. And I am so blessed by what I have experienced in community. My relationship with Jesus is so much richer because of what I experience in community. He is so much realer and more relevant because of my relationship in community, the oneness that I'm experiencing. And I'm not always good at it. I'm sure I owe like 5 people an email right now. It's hard. It's hard to be in community because there's a transition happening. There are some things in my life that are going to have to fall away so that I can fully participate in the oneness that God has for me to participate in. There are some things that I go, well, this has to get done, that the Lord's going, really? That he's leading me into a place of oneness and community because it's right for me, it's good for me, and it's good for the body. It's the way that he set it up. So Jesus said, make them one, not just one with me, but one with one another. We're called to be in family. And honestly, I'm hearing this in all these other bodies. I'm talking with people. It's on their hearts. And this is not a fad. This is not the buzzword of churches. This is not a growth strategy. It's a foundational truth that the Lord is giving us revelation for. We have to be able to be in community. We have to create a safe place to be in community. We have to cultivate that. And I believe that we're doing that. I believe that the Lord's more and more helping us to learn, I need to be able to be transparent and vulnerable in relationship. And I don't get to say anymore, that's not really my personality. I get to express what that looks like within my personality. But if I fully want to enter into oneness, I'm going to have to allow the Lord to stretch me in that area. I'm going to have to allow the Lord to make me vulnerable, to make me transparent. I'm going to have to risk that I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to have to risk that I'm going to share something and someone doesn't handle it gently. But I believe that one of the things that it's our heart to do is to sow into the body how to create that safe environment for community. How can we create an environment that's honoring to one another so that we can feel safe in that? And the things that the Lord calls us to do, there's all kinds of instructions in the New Testament about how community should relate to one another. There's like 94 different times where he's talking about through teaching, This is how it looks to be in community. And we can't possibly do all those things in this room on Sunday morning. We just can't. We can only do a piece of that here. And so I believe that the Lord is calling us to a new intentionality as it relates to pursuing oneness. He's calling us to a place even where we've allowed this little barrier. Well, they think this, and I think this. And so there's this barrier here that we've sort of allowed to be there, and we're kind of comfortable with it. I believe the Lord is saying it's time for the walls to come down, even the thin ones that we feel pretty comfortable with. Whether it's in our marriages, whether it's in our families, whether it's amongst the people that we're in community with. That's the last time we spoke on reconciliation and forgiveness. And I believe that was a piece of it, the Lord's laying out. We need to have access to one another for there to be oneness. And so ask the Lord, what is it? What hindrances do I have? A lot of times, because the enemy really does want to keep us isolated, a lot of times it'll be shame. I can't possibly share this with somebody else. I can't possibly be open about this. Sometimes it's bitterness. Yep, I tried that before and I got hurt. Yep, I am never going to be part of a women's group again. That's not me, I'm not saying that. Because of some experience that we've had, and the Lord's asking, would you let me minister to that, and would you be willing to go in and trust again and be in community and be in oneness for the sake of my glory? It's imperative for us to understand that and to walk in that for the church to have the impact that it's meant to have on the earth. And it's an interesting thing, because walking in community the way, and walking in oneness the way that God is drawing us into and calling us into, is going to require humility. And humility is not like we think humility. We think, I was so humiliated. That's more like shame. But it's going to require a submitting to one another in love. It's going to require a being willing to serve one another. It's going to be required going low. And I love the grace that's going to be released. We want to see God move. We want to see him be who he is. We want to see all the things that we're pursuing in healing and prophetic and seeing people come to salvation. And the verse I love in James 4:6, it's actually a reference to an Old Testament scripture, but it says that God resists or opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And grace is the same word that is used, sometimes it's translated gifts. He gives grace. He gives gifts to the humble. And I feel like the Lord's speaking to me that if we will stay in community, he will release a grace. He will release the gifts to walk in, to see those things happen. But we are meant to operate in oneness, in community. I heard a description about it. For any of us, we know a boat motor, right? You have a boat. It's that thing that goes in water when it's not frozen. You have a boat. You don't run the motor outside the water. Okay, I'm just telling you, if you don't know this, you can't run a motor outside the water. You'll burn up the motor because it's meant to be run in the water. That's the cooling process that it, you know. And so you see, I was like, you're running your boat motor in a barrel. I don't understand. That's what guys do. They stick a big barrel and they'll run it when they're trying to fix it because it has to be in the context of water. And I feel like we have to be in the context of oneness. We have to be in the context of community, or we're going to burn out. The things, the function that we're made to have, we can't do outside of that context. And what we're trying to talk about as it relates to, we'll talk more about this at a higher call, but what we're trying to talk about as it relates to our groups here that we have several groups that are functioning in this way. We have groups that are doing life together, that are pursuing things, that are stepping out, that are risking, that are stretching vulnerability, that are inviting people in, that are getting the umbrellas outside in their homes, in their neighborhoods. We have that happening. And I want to encourage us to not just this once, let's not pursue the evangelistic piece of it from that standpoint, but pursue it from the standpoint of if we operate in community, if we operate in oneness, the result will be that it's going to be evangelistic. The result will be an adding to our numbers if we're truly pursuing it as the way that the Lord has asked. Our ability to evangelize together will be greatly increased if we know how to be in oneness, if we know how to be in relationship and vulnerability, if we know how to bring people into a family rather than an organization. And so this is something we want to be very deliberate in. The very foundation of this body is based on these concepts, that it's not just about the guy or gals or people standing up here. It's not just about the group of elders. It's about the care and equipping that the body can minister to one another. I just want to read, if you've ever been to a membership meeting, you've had this in your packet. But this is the foundational stuff that was written 23 years ago, more than 20 years ago, when the church was planted. Our care structure is based on the conviction that care can be best provided when individual members of the congregation develop close relationships and are caring for one another. A study of the following scriptures, as well as others, establish the biblical basis. So one of the scriptures is in John, when Jesus washes the disciples' feet and then says, "Now do this for one another." And really what he's saying is, it's not just about the guy. It's not just about the guy and he's doing that, but that we can do this for one another, that we can serve one another. Another scripture is in Romans 15, verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let us each please his neighbor for his good, leading to his edification. So just talks about our strength is for other people. There are things that you are gifted in that are really for other people to draw from as well. One of the things the Lord's been doing with me as it relates to even how I minister into people's lives, because we do couples coaching and we do some counseling and some inner healing stuff, and we have some people that we're working with, and it's kind of over and over again, and they're making an appointment, and we just aren't seeing the breakthrough. And we felt like the Lord spoke, you need to minister to them out of community. Not out of, I'm here and I have the answer, and you come to me. Do you see? And my heart was broken that I would allow them to see it that way, and that I would ever see it that way. And so our strategy has even changed, because what they need is they need to be ministered to out of community, standing in their kitchen or in mine. Be better if it was theirs. But standing in their kitchen and just talking through stuff and doing life together, and And yes, we will. We still have times when people are going to come and we're going to minister to them. But my mindset has changed as it relates to that. I've said for a long time when the Lord began calling us into some things and he was speaking some things over us that I was like, really? I don't know. And one of the things is this huge, I don't know what it is, caution in me or fear even really, that anybody would know my name and not his. And there's this aspect that God is bringing us, those who want to minister, you're going to minister in community. It's not going to be the same paradigm. And we're finding that there's success in that. The marriage classes that we do, we could never see the breakthroughs that we see in couples if we weren't doing it in community, if they weren't doing it where they have a small group that's speaking into them. We would never see that breakthrough. We would never see what we've seen happen if we were just making appointments and they were meeting with us. So the Lord's changing our mindset. He's changing the paradigm of how we even view it. He's changing the paradigm of, you know, how it's viewed as shepherds and as sheep. You can minister to one another. You have a lot of strength to share with one another. And so one of the things that's happened in those relationships where we've been ministering into people is because I'm here, I think I'm here, and they think I'm here, and they're here, is I don't require strength from them. I'm not drawing strength out of them. They're drawing lots of strength out of me. But I'm not drawing any strength out of them. And so when we began to draw strength out of them, what's something that they are strong in? It put us on a plane where we can minister out of community. And now I'm not burning out because I'm not a motor out of water. I'm a motor in community where there's an exchange of strength happening. Even in the midst of the crisis that they're dealing with, I can draw strength from them. And we can minister to one another in that way. You have those gifts to pour out. Holy cats. Okay. So, back to the original foundational principle, and I'll just close with some of this. With this understanding as our guide, those verses that we talked about, and there's more. We can get copies of this if you'd like, or you can attend a membership meeting at some point. We purpose to encourage care to take place primarily through small groups. Not all these groups may exist for the primary purpose of providing care, nor will all care take place at a small group meeting, but the relationships that are formed will allow the care and concern of one another. And then we just talk about some different categories. So we have groups. We're calling them connect groups because it's a place to connect. It's about oneness. And we have groups that they're doing life together. They're sharing joy. They're doing everything they can to do the 94 one another commands in the New Testament. How can we share? They're coming together in the temple and they're going from house to house breaking bread. They share joy, they share trials, they help. So that's one of the ways that you can connect in this body. We have groups like that. We need more groups like that. A lot of the groups that are existing have been functioning for a while, and so they've been growing. And so we need more groups like that. We're going to be asking the Lord to open up opportunities for that to happen, to see people leading those within their homes. Another aspect that we have is you may have a particular study or focus. And you're focused on studying scripture, say, or you're focused on learning about the prophetic, or you're focused on, but care is happening in that. There's an equipping of the saints and a building up of the body that's happening. And then another one, which we really want to see opened up, is just common interest groups to connect in common interest. Because that is going to really be like whatever that is. You can connect in relationship, but over just things that don't seem religious or don't seem, it's not Bible study, it's motorcycling. But that is a way to get us out of these walls and functioning as the church out there with our umbrellas. You have umbrellas. You are equipped. And the Lord wants us to carry that with us out. The word that Brian was getting was, we need to take it out into the clearing. So, I have lots more to say about it. We're going to be looking at it during Higher Call. But I just want to, can I just pray for us? That we would be intentional about asking God, what are you saying to us right now about this? About oneness and about functioning community? Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to gather together, to be your ecclesia today, to be an assembly that's called out for you. And we ask that you would begin to expand our view of what that looks like. We ask that you would expand our tent pegs, that you would expand our reach as the body of Christ. And we pray first that you would begin to transform us by the renewing of our minds. We give you permission to renew our minds, to renew the way we think about our role in the impact that the church is going to have on the world. We ask you to renew our minds about how we relate to one another and the level of intimacy and vulnerability that we're willing to give one another. We thank you, Jesus, for the individual relationship that you have with each of us that makes us feel like we're your favorite. We thank you for the times of intimacy that are just between you and us individually. But Lord, we acknowledge that it's good to be in community. It's good to be in family. It's good to be in oneness. And that the end result of that connection with you should be the overflowing into one another and into the people around us. We thank you, Lord, that when you found the last, that lost sheep, when 99 were found and one was lost, that you do go after that one, but that you take him back. It says in the word, you take him back to the other sheep because you know that that's where it's good for us to be. So we ask for that revelation. We ask for the courage. We ask for courageous love, that we would be willing to risk following and doing what you're asking us to do as it relates to loving one another. We thank you, Jesus, for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, this is good stuff. I want to encourage you, at the Higher Call is our Sunday night meeting that we do to equip people to go into the next level of their call. And Renee, I sat with her some time ago, Renee and Brian, and there was a passion to equip leaders. I love what she said about we are all called to be leaders. You are called to be a leader. If you're a dad, you're a leader. You know, if you're serving somebody in a company, you're a leader. You can lead with service. This thing of leadership is really a big deal in the heart of God, teaching us how to lead with our lifestyles and with love. And we lead through serving. The lower we can get, the better we lead, right? So I would encourage you to set some time aside for the Higher Calls. It's 3 weeks, not tonight. Tonight is the body being the body, releasing the body, and that's always good. Then the following 3 weeks will be Renee is going to minister on leadership. So I would encourage us to take time for that. Let's stand together. We will have some prayer teams up here. If you need prayer, if you need healing, you need somebody to stand with you, if you just need some encouragement, come on up. These teams are just equipped to bless you. Remember, out in the lobby, we are having our service Sunday. Take a look. Check it out. There's some people at tables out there. Talk to them a little bit about opportunities to serve. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that we are called to oneness. Lord, we're called to oneness not just as the church here, the local church, but God, we are called to oneness in the city. We're called to oneness with the city church, with the state church, with the worldwide church. God, that there is a oneness that is absolutely stunning and miraculous that you are accomplishing in this hour. We thank you that we can be a part of your great plan in Jesus' name. Amen.